Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything.
So we're going to put out all the facts. We're going to put out the facts about how we got where we are. And we're going to put out the facts about what this board has done and what we've agreed to, which is nothing yet. And I want everyone to know this. I still support the master plan. That was the compromise, right? There's going to be negotiations. There's going to be back and forth. But I support that master plan. Will we get 100% of it? Is 100% of it economically viable? We'll see.
Yeah, and of course, this is Commissioner Jeff Bergosh talking at the county commission meeting on Thursday in response to some folks who wanted to get up and talk about OLF 8 during the open forum, outlying Landing Field 8, of course, the ongoing massive project by Escambia County where we swapped some land that we bought in Santa Rosa County and then fixed it up real nice for the Navy and then gave that to them, and then we took ownership of this, and now we're trying to figure out what to do with it, and there's a master plan in place that says you're supposed to do this and this and this and this with it. And whether the county commissioners will hold to that master plan is kind of this ongoing question. We hope, and it's, you know, it's been ratified, and they keep saying they will after temporarily saying that they kind of would hew to the spirit of it rather than to the details of it. Well, the details are the everything. But Jeff Bergosh says again, which he has said many times, you know, he does plan to hold to it, and that's all of the communication that we're getting, so let's hope that turns out to be the case. Teresa Blackwell, who is kind of the, you know, I don't know, the other side to Jeff, you know, Jeff who wants and has said so many, many, many times, he wants only, you know, light industrial, he wants jobs on that. Teresa Blackwell, representing more kind of the views of the citizenry of Beulah, wants a variety of things on there, including jobs, including a town center, including amenities that make it a kind of space you want to go to, and some housing, not cheap, crummy housing, but, you know, good housing. And people are worried that doing a deal with D.R. Horton is going to bring cheap, crummy housing, which, of course, we have seen in many places. If you go and look, you're like, wow, that's a great house for 4 years, you know, maybe 10 years. And in 15 years, it's going to look like any subdivision USA, and it's not going to be great. And that's one of the concerns about them. We'll get to that in a second. But she brought up an interesting idea that I had not heard anybody propose yet. I don't think I agree with it, but it was different. She said, we need to wait a little while before we fully act on OLF 8.
First, I'd just like to say that in order to slow this down, for one thing, sell just enough to pay back the LOST funds. Hold back as much as possible until the Beulah exit, the new Beulah exit, is imminent, and we can attract something better than warehouses to the commercial area.
So the Beulah exit, that's where Beulah Road is going to be reconfigured to be an interchange with Interstate 10, right? Which is an amazing bit of development for the Beulah area. I mean, we haven't added an exchange on I-10 in, I mean, it's some huge number. It's like 30 or 40 or 50 years, crazy. It just doesn't happen, okay? And so that they are doing that is amazing, and that will be a big deal, but it'll be, you know what, like 6 or 7 years out, I think, until that gets done. It's quite a ways. It's not a quick process. And she says, look, I get that we want to sell the property off to not be losing money, not have a carrying cost, but why don't we just sell off enough of the residential portion of it to basically pay back our investment? Then we're even, and then we can make a smart decision based on going forward instead of the fear that we're going to miss out on what we've already got in hand. And also, once we've got the Beulah interchange in, or at least pending, you know, real close to being in, then companies and, you know, retail will make very different kinds of choices because they will have that out the back door, out Frank Arita Road. And so that makes sense to me, but I just think that'd be waiting too long. That's my concern. It seems like it's waiting too long. But I get what she's getting at is, you know, that property will be worth a lot more in terms of its potential and what people are willing to offer for it in several years when that interchange is either open or almost open. So I get what she's aiming at. Meanwhile, Jeff Bergosh keeps touting that they're going to do a town hall meeting where they're going to have all the relevant properties. You know, they're going to have D.R. Horton is going to be there, and the company that wants to do the commercial development, they're going to be there, and, of course, all the citizens. And she says, well, okay, but let's just make sure that we have all of the people who have an invested interest in that area there.
And one other question, Mr. Burgosh, at that meeting, do we have DPZ or an enlightened planner of the new urbanist type like DPZ there to also offer their opinion? Because D.R. Horton is not the right kind of builder to build what we need.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll extend the same invitation to Marina Curry and DPZ. I don't know that they will come, but I want everyone to come.
And so if they came, that'd be great. Remember, DPZ and Marina Curry, she's kind of the representative to us, but they were the design folks that did the master plan on OLF-8. And then because in some emails they complained about how what a bumbling hot mess the Escambia County Commission was at the time, and it was and still often is, they complained about that in some emails, and those emails came to light, and Jeff Burgosh and Stephen Berry got their feelings hurt real bad. And so as a result, when it came time to do the Beulah Master Plan, they did everything in their power to avoid hiring DPZ, which would have been the natural choice since they'd already done OLF-8. But they're actually costing the county more to get a less adequate firm to do the work that DPZ was going to do and would have made sense to do. But again, because their feelings got in the way, that's why that decision got made. So that's it. I don't know that they'll come. You know, I don't know how much of a great ambassador of olive branches Jeff Burgosh will be on this to invite DPZ to come to this town hall. It'd be great if they showed up. But, you know, time will tell. The other question is, what about D.R. Horton? We'll get to that in just a second. Before that, Candy has traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays. 98, mostly accident-free. There's an accident in Mariester. It looks like it may be slowing things down, but not bad. Not showing a roadblock there. If you see an accident or a slowdown, certainly let us know. You can text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to OLF-8 conversation being had at the Escambia County Commission last Thursday. Jeff Burgosh wanted to make a point about D.R. Horton, and I think we have all seen that D.R. Horton is certainly capable of building crummy homes. I mean, homes that just look so, why? You know, like it's architectural malpractices, so what it feels like. But he says, and I have also seen this, they build nice homes. And so the question is not D.R. Horton represents this kind of a thing. D.R. Horton is capable of a wide range of construction output based on what the needs or what the requirements are.
D.R. Horton builds an array of products. They have a product assortment. In this community, they built some tremendous homes in Huntington Creek. Huntington Creek, drive through Huntington Creek and look at the homes D.R. Horton has built. They build what they're required to build. Now, they wanted to get into Huntington Creek for a long time. I know this on firsthand knowledge, but they didn't want to build to the standards that Huntington Creek required. So Huntington Creek said, no, you're not going to be a builder in our community. Guess what? Well, D.R. Horton said, okay, well, we'll build your standards, and they did it. So they build a wide product assortment. Some of them are not the most aesthetically pleasing. I admit that. But to broad brush D.R. Horton, other parts of the country where they're held to a standard, they can build incredible houses. Now, I'm not their spokesman, but I don't want people broad brushing it, because right here in this community, I've seen houses that they've built in Huntington Creek, and they're very, very nice.
And that Huntington Creek, you can't really go there. It's a gated community, and even like Google Street View doesn't have it. You can look on Zillow, and I looked up a couple of their houses. They are nice houses. I don't know which ones are built by Horton and which ones are built by others. Maybe they were all built by Horton. I don't think so, but you know, I don't know. But certainly, that's a very nice subdivision. We biked it back when we were, I mean, it's a long time ago, 5 or 6 years ago, we biked that one when it was first getting developed, you know? So I think what he's getting at, and I certainly hope it's true, is that if we would put some better requirements in for what is going to be built as residential on there, not just a, hey, here's the land, build what you want. But then again, that starts to look like what Grover Robinson warned about micromanaging. And that starts to look like, you know, architectural review boards and things like that. And maybe that's good, you know, for the long haul to make sure that it gets done well. But I think that's what Teresa is getting at with wanting DPZ to be in the room when they have the town hall, and maybe in the room for other aspects of this conversation as well. 719 here on News Radio 92.3. So, like many, many other things, what we have to say is, okay, we need to pay attention because we don't want the sort of crap homes. You know, that's nobody wants that. But that would be the cheap, fast, profitable way for them to turn that land around if they do buy it. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you are getting ready to check out that air conditioning unit, you want to, or if you have HVAC work of any kind, you have electric work of any kind, you want to be sure that the people you call are going to do the work right first time, stand by the product, have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's Peden. Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. Right now, $49 to inspect your AC before the hot of the summer. I mean, it's 88 today. You don't have a lot of time left before the hot of the summer is, you know, just today. But Pensacola, Fort Walton, and Panama City for that price. In Baldwin County, where they just expanded, $29. $29 in Baldwin County, and the first 400 customers get free smart care membership. So if you need AC work or replacement, call Peden. Electrical work, call Peden. Check them out online at peden.com.
There's something new at Peatbore Imports, and you need to experience it. The Volkswagen 2023 ID.4 EV is in stock and waiting for you to enjoy the smooth, quiet, and impressively powerful ride it offers. If you haven't experienced an EV yet, make sure you stop by and see how the Volkswagen ID.4 EV will absolutely impress even the most discerning drivers. And while you're at Peatbore Imports, check out the 2023 Taos S, now from $26,226, and the Tiguan S from $28,576, and both are available with a low APR rate of 1.9 for 36 months. The Atlas Cross Sport SE is in stock and priced from $36,161, and it's available with financing at 3.9% for 60 months. It's all new this month at Peatbore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peatbore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Prices for CAD, tax, title, and associated new fees. APR rates for qualified credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As America continues to endure sin and debauchery of just about every type, I find myself evaluating my patriotism. For many Christians, it's become increasingly difficult to express patriotism when the powers that be are wholeheartedly endorsing the wickedness of same-sex marriage, abortion, transgenderism, and such the like. However, for me, my patriotism is primarily rooted in gratitude for our country's biblical foundation. My patriotism stems from our country's past in spite of her present. I love that our coins say, "In God we trust," and our pledge still includes one nation under God. Our national anthem declares, "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just," and this be our motto, "In God do we trust." If we want God's continued blessing, we must get back to Him, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Hey guys, I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Had a really good time in Destin and particularly in Navarre over the weekend. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Learned some kind of cool stuff about the sea turtles. Like I said, I'll tell you in a second. Before that, David Wayne is in our newsroom with the headlines. David?
Talks of raising the debt ceiling are scheduled to resume today at the White House. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says President Biden agreed to sit down with him one-on-one during a call between the two as Biden was on his way home from the G7 summit in Japan. They have until June 1st to reach a deal before the U.S. defaults. The mayor of the largest sanctuary city in the U.S. says immigration reform is a national issue, not a city issue. New York Democrat Eric Adams was on CBS's Face the Nation. He says the influx of migrants is putting a big burden on both border cities and sanctuary cities, and criticized the federal government, saying they're only providing $30 million for a $4 billion problem. And if you've ever wondered what the angriest airport in the country is, well, it's in Orange County, California. That's according to a new rankings. Some new rankings released by Forbes, which gave the top spot to the John Wayne Airport. The rankings based on an analysis of Twitter activity.
Okay. All right.
Orange County. I did not.
If
think
anything,
that.
Will yeah, tell John, you yeah, who's that, angry about what. It's the Twitter.
that's there's nothing better. There's nothing better to tell you who's angry about the what, Pilgrim. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
The roads are fine right now. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So over the weekend, went to my wife and I go biking all the time. If you've heard me say this 1,000 times, I apologize. If you're brand new to the show, you're like, oh, cool. Okay, so that's why I tell you. So we go biking for a couple of hours on the weekend, and we've gone all over Escambia County and most of Santa Rosa County, and my wife said before the summer season, the kids get out of school and the traffic's even worse, let's go to Destin. So we were in Destin last weekend and this weekend, and Destin's an interesting place, I'll just tell you. There's a lot of variety of housing in Destin, everything from super mansions up on Indian Trail to other ones. I'm like, ooh. Really? Somebody needs to get their architect license taken away for that. So there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in Destin. But then after biking, we came over to Navarre. And we did two things I've never done before. One was we snorkeled out to the reef, the little artificial reef that was built out there off of the eastern edge of the pavilions when you go east from the intersection out on the beach. Really cool. I saw for the first time in person, up close and personal, a giant sea turtle. I mean, it's probably a 300-pound turtle. It was amazing, and I'm looking at him or she, and he's looking back at me. Okay. And we went out on the pier for the first time, which I'd never been out to the Navarre Pier. I know, 9 years, but there it is. And while we were there, people were fishing, and there were turtles all over the place. It was so cool. And I talked to a guy who's with the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Rescue, Ralph Agnew.
Yeah. All right, so we're here at Navarre Pier with Ralph Agnew. He is with the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation and Rescue. And you guys basically park out here at the end of the pier and hope nobody catches a turtle, but if they do, what do you do?
Well, we'll tell the fishermen how to handle the line, when to bring it in, try to wear that turtle down. Then we take the rescue net, which is a 4x3.5 net, and we lower it down, and we get the fishermen to maneuver that turtle into the net. Then we raise it up about a foot out of the water, tie it off, and then we'll back the UTV up to the edge of the pier, and we'll put the rope through the block up here, and then hoist them up.
Yeah, I was wondering how you get them up. They're so heavy, but
yeah,
they can be.
Yeah, we'll use that hoist there and bring them up. And we'll get them up here, put them in the back of the UTV, and then take them over to the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation Center and do an initial assessment on them. In the meantime, we'll be getting a hold of FWC Stranding, and they'll tell us where to take that turtle.
And now, some people might catch a turtle, and they think, maybe I'll just cut the line. That's the best thing to do. But that's not what you want them to do, right?
That's exactly right. We don't want them to cut the line, because if you do cut the line, it's 30 feet down to the water. And if they cut it and it's way out, so he's got 50 feet of line, let's say, on him, and he's swimming around and goes around one of these pylons and get stuck, that turtle's going to drown.
So you want him to tire him out, get your help, yep, bring him up, and then you can evaluate him, and if they need to be worked on, because I assume you bring him in, sometimes they've got more than one hook in them, right?
Exactly. Sometimes a hook pops out here. We take them over to Gulfarium. They x-ray them. There'll be 4 or 5 hooks on the inside of them. The signs we have here, the phone number is the gift shop at the end of the pier, at the start of the pier, and they know how to contact us through an app.
And they're in just what, looking for food, basically?
Looking for food, yes, looking for food.
And I did see, I assume that it's illegal to try to catch them. You're not allowed to take them, right? It's illegal?
Illegal, yeah.
And I saw somebody casting towards one, but I couldn't tell if he thought maybe there were fish around that would be more like, because I see fish travel with the sea turtles, right?
Yes, cobia travel with these big, larger sea turtles, and some of these fishermen will actually try to cast off to the side of that turtle to try to lure that cobia out from under it.
And that's okay, just as long as they're not, I guess.
As long as they don't hook them, yes. Yeah, as long as they don't hook them.
And how often does somebody hook a turtle up in here?
Well, last night we got one like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
And yesterday we got one off the beach, weighed over 200 pounds.
Wow, so kind of like once a day maybe is relatively common?
And for everyone we rescue, we probably get 10 calls where the line breaks or it pulls loose.
Wow. So any advice to people who want to come out here and fish and just, how they can best take care of those turtles and make sure they don't cause any problems?
Well, if they do get hooked, have them call the end of the pier with the
phone number that's up there.
Phone number, and either the pier marshals will come down or we'll come down. The pier marshals have their own net.
Okay.
And so what they'll do is they'll net it, and then they'll take it a foot out of the water and tie it off so they're not touching the turtle. And then we'll come down with the UTV, and then we'll hoist it up.
And there's somebody like you, as long as there's volunteers, there's somebody like you at every pier along the Panhandle coast, basically?
Well, I don't know about the rest of the piers, but on this pier, that's the way it is here. Yeah.
And it's very cool that they do this, and they built their own rig to go on the back of the golf cart that they used to lift them up, and they'll drag a kayaker to shore, and it's just, it's a whole production.
News. I'm CJ Papa. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott will announce he's running for president later this morning at an event in North Charleston. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis could toss his hat into the ring later this week. So who's the choice of Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez?
I'm supporting the Republican candidate, but at this point, I've thrown my hat in with President Trump.
And a Republican last hour on Fox Business. Crucial meeting at the White House today between the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden on the debt ceiling crisis with a potential economic earthquake June 1st, the drop-dead date to fund the government revealed by the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said today deals reached on a trip to meet Pacific leaders are not about any other country in response to a question from a reporter on China that has made increasing inroads in the region. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 72 degrees. It's partly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. The Escambia County School Board has scheduled an emergency meeting next week to discuss their future plans. Now, this comes 1 week after the surprising firing of District Superintendent Dr. Tim Smith. According to the school district website, they'll be discussing the transition to Interim Superintendent Keith Leonard and also the process for finding a permanent replacement. They'll also be discussing contract renewals for outside legal counsel and designate a representative to the Florida School Boards Association. That meeting scheduled Tuesday, May 30th. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the J.E. Hall Center on Tahar Drive. Well, last week, notices were sent out to several Gulf Front property owners on Perdido Key confirming easements that allow for public beach access. But Perdido's newest public access point, Access 4, near the Crab Trap, is a little bit of a different story.
The problem with Access 4, the issue, the challenge is these parcels over here on this side of Perdido Key in District 1, these parcels don't have the 75-foot access easement language that the parcels on the Gulf Beach subdivision do, the parcels between the State Park and Perdido Sky.
That excerpt from a video posted to social media by Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Burgosh over the weekend. In the video, Burgosh showcased some new signage over at Access 4 and also showed the new unobstructed beach view. Now that the county's new sign ordinance that limits private properties to one sign at the dune line has now gone into effect. One condo now with a private security guard. Baptist Hospital and the Lakeview Center planning to create a centralized facility to take in Baker Act patients. They say that plan would create 30 new inpatient beds for mental health care here in our area. The announcement made Friday during a meeting of the Northwest Florida Mental Health Task Force News Journal, reporting that the plan makes several recommendations for mental health in our area, such as having organizations work together to raise awareness for services, create peer-led support centers, training and recruiting behavioral health care workers, and increasing affordable housing availability that also has access to mental health services, as well as expanding the diversion court program to create a mental health treatment court. A Pensacola woman arrested after a traffic crash on Saturday. Police say she tried to run from the scene. 50-year-old Terry Lynn Sanders is charged with habitual offense of driving with a suspended license. Police say Sanders was involved in a crash on Cervantes in North Spring, then got out and tried to run away. Officers found and detained her nearby. Sanders was taken to the Escambia County Jail on $2,500 bond. A SpaceX rocket launching from the Kennedy Space Center on Sunday with a live crew.
One, engines full power, and liftoff, Falcon 9, go Axiom.
Copy, 1 Alpha.
Together we expand what is possible in low Earth orbit. Ad Astra and Godspeed AX2.
There were four passengers, and three of them were paying passengers on a Falcon 9 rocket that are now headed to the International Space Station, the AX-2 mission, making history as a stem cell researcher becomes the first Middle Eastern woman to travel to space. It also marks just the second all-private mission to the International Space Station. 735, it's News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
Not much. It looks like everything's fine. Avalon not showing any delays at all. Taking a look at I-10, I-110, not showing any problems there as well. The Atmore cutoff just a little slow getting on to 29, but it usually is. And it looks a little slow. This is north of I-10. On Highway 29, but not showing any accidents. Certainly, if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know. It looks like Log Lake Road. This is in Holt on I-10, at I-10. It looks like there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, so that could slow things down, too. And that is, of course, again, in Holt, so that roadway is blocked. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, it is blocked eastbound. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Warm and humid day today with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. 40% chance of rain overall with a high near 88. Overnight tonight, temperatures are going to be dropping near 70 degrees. For Tuesday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 83. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 72, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. China's chip stocks rallied today following Beijing's announcement to bar some purchases of products from U.S. memory chipmaker Micron. China's Cyberspace Administration barred operators of critical information infrastructure in China from buying products from the U.S. chip giant following a security review. Chinese authorities said Micron products failed its network security review, citing serious potential network security issues. A decades-old guitar, autographed and smashed by Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain, sold for over $500,000. Julian's Auction sold the instrument for $595,000 in New York City. The black Fender Stratocaster is no longer playable and covered with scratches and dents. Julian's predicted the instrument would sell between $60,000 and $80,000, but bidders went far beyond that. The buyer is a Nirvana fan who works in finance. The instrument was signed by all three Nirvana band members. On Wall Street, futures are a little changed. That's Your Money Now.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
We are the Gulf Coast's premier local digital marketing partner. Did you know every campaign we create is done right here from our radio studio office, right here in Pensacola? Locally customized, locally designed, locally planned, locally executed, and locally optimized for your success by our team of media marketing professionals that really know Northwest Florida and South Alabama. Our team makes sure your campaign contains the most attention-getting display and video elements and the most advanced targeting to make sure your marketing budget is used in the most effective way possible. We are ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners, your team of trusted media professionals under the same roof of the radio names you know and love, like Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. Begin your partnership with ADX Digital today by emailing connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill? Join Compass Solar Energy Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy. Wednesday at 9 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton.
And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Randy had been asked to look at the budget to see what we could afford with this, and has, Madam Mayor, have you heard what the answer was on that at this point?
It was my understanding that we could support $5,000 for each of the five schools within the city of Milton.
Now, I recall that it was $1,000 per school.
Yes, ma'am, $1,000 per school, and since there are five schools in Milton.
Okay, and then Randy said he would look at the budget to see if we could accommodate that.
So this is Marilyn Farrow, City Councilman Marilyn Farrow in the city of Milton, from whence we draw our Days of Milton today, asking about a program that school board chair Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa County, had come and pitched to the Milton City Council a couple of weeks back called the DUO program. Do Unto Others is the acronym, so DUO program. And the idea there is that a lot of times kids show up at school and they come from an impoverished background, and they don't want to ask for stuff, but the bus driver sees, or the teacher sees, or whoever sees, and they're like, and she told some pretty heartbreaking stories, and you know, this is why teachers and bus drivers and whoever, they spend money on these kids all the time. And she said, well, instead of them having to dive into their own pocket, and instead of them having to come to the school board to take the time it takes to go through the process of getting an approval for a spend, why don't we just give them all Visa gift cards or something worth $1,000, and then they can take care of needs as they see fit, and then they can submit to us receipts and documentation to show what they spent the money on, and assuming that they spend it well, she didn't say this, but I am inferring that the future would be, and we'll reimburse and we'll recharge the cards, and we'll probably get businesses donate to this and individuals donate to this and all kinds of folks who donate to this, and would you like to be a part of it? And so the city council had voted unanimously, yeah, we'll give $1,000 each to the schools that are here in Milton City. So if you're putting $1,000 in, we'll just take care of Milton, you know, which makes sense. Until Marilyn Farrow, who says, I don't know about all this.
This is the research that I've done since that meeting, and there are many programs already that provide clothing and shoes, clothing including jackets, to families in need. My home church alone also participates in several programs like this.
And so she went through and listed out all the different programs there are for helping the impoverished kids in Santa Rosa County, to which I think we all go, yeah, and? I mean, because there's a need. And her take is, well, since there's all these other programs, I don't know why we have to do anything about it.
There are already many programs in place for children and families in need. And I really don't see that it is the role of our city government with taxpayer funds to support contributing clothing and shoes to families in need.
Oh. Really?
Because my church already does it?
Yeah, because, you know, my church does it, so we don't need to as a city. Again, we're talking about $5,000, right?
I think we just have to draw the line somewhere with programs like this.
I would draw the line just after this program. I would not draw the line before this program. It's the kind of thing that you think, who sits up there and says this is the place where you're going to decide to be persnickety, right? Well, maybe.
You're a mean one.
Mrs. Farrow.
I just, like, this
your
is
mind
the place.
Is small and narrow.
And listen, I'm sympathetic to the viewpoint, right? You know, governments exist for reasons, and those reasons are to do this and not to do that. It just seems like all the money that gets spent on so many different, you know, activities and Mardi Gras and parades and building a fence here and like, and $5,000 to help kids get, you know, newer shoes or, you know, food or like go, and probably not food, but
Mrs. Sanborn was saying, like the kid wearing his dad's shoes because he just didn't have any because that's what they meant. And
exactly.
Now she's.
I mean, people who live
isn't
in.
Isn't there Bible stuff about, you
a
know?
Little, yeah. And yeah. People who live in, like, I mean, their floor is dirt. I mean, that's not that uncommon, really, in Santa Rosa County or in Escambia County. You might think that never happened. That does happen. Anyway.
It definitely happens.
So everybody, you know, was on board with this until Marilyn Farrow was like, I don't think so. So, all right. Heather Lindsay has her response, and she says, yeah, I just don't really see it this way. I don't think this is, no. This is not right.
Within the city of Milton, our statistics regarding poverty and children in poverty are higher as compared to the overall county average. So Milton has a special set of needs as compared to the county generally. And so I do believe it's worthwhile for us to look at this.
Matt Jarrett, even he didn't really say anything in favor. Matt Jarrett, who barely comes to enough meetings to stay on council, but he's like, yeah, we'll do this.
Mr. Jarrett, did you want to speak to it?
I don't have any comment, but I will make a motion to move it forward.
So motion to move it forward from Councilman Jarrett.
Casey Powell says, you know, I'm the child of a teacher. I understand what teachers do. This is important.
As someone similar to you, a child of a teacher for 38 years here in the school system here in the city of Milton, I know of what teachers do.
Jason Van says, you know, teachers spend so much of their own money on this. This is a good program.
I think that it's a worthwhile cause.
And right. We got 1,000 homeless in the school system. You know, let's do something to take care of them. So we'll finish this up in just a second because Marilyn wasn't done complaining about this program. We'll get to that in a second. And by the way, and she did say, I like the program. I just don't think we should be doing it. Okay, that was her position, right? And that she even contributes that through her church, but doesn't want to do this with city money. Anyway, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It's heartbreaking, though. You know what I mean? Highway 90, not showing any slowdowns, a little slow near Woodbine, but I think that's just regular congestion. And that's really all I'm seeing is typical congestion this morning. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, again, closed south of Coppell, that drainage improvement project. That's going on still through the end of the month. And as I understand, they're going to work on other parts of East Bay Boulevard. Hey, traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the discussion about whether City of Milton will put $5,000 into the Do Unto Others, the DUO program proposed by School Board Chair Linda Sanborn. Marilyn Farrow says...
So I'm not disputing that it's a worthwhile cause. My contention is that it's not a cause that our city government should be taking up.
And again, in principle, I'd agree generally with that. Government is not the proper source of charity. Private individuals and or the church are the proper source of charity. At the same time, government does already engage in so much charitable work, and this seems like the kind of thing where there's a reason that all the school board members, or all the city council members are like, oh yeah, we can do this, because they recognize that this is a feel good about what we can do to make a difference in the lives of these kids, a real small amount for a fairly decent sized city. You know, we can do this, but still Marilyn Farrow says,
we are not a charitable organization. We are a city government and we are funded by taxpayers and by revenues from our utilities.
Are they upset about this? Like, are taxpayers showing up and saying, how dare you spend, you know, 10 cents of my money a piece on this, right?
And I just have a hard time grasping contributing to a program to the school system.
So, like, why is she hung up on this?
But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small.
Now, come on, that can't be it, because, you know, she gives through her church and that's not the issue. Is she squabbling with Linda Sanborn because that's like a political opponent, you know? Maybe. Is she really on principle going to make... It just doesn't seem like the place you pitch your flag. You know, you find yourself in a conversation about the proper role of government and you're a conservative and you say, well, I just don't think that we should be spending this kind of money on, you know, creating housing, let's say. But $5,000 to help kids who are poor have, you know, shoes. You know, it's the kind of thing where, like, even if you disagreed on principle, maybe it's one of those times where you just say to yourself, shh. You know, maybe just not right at this moment. So even Shari Sebastio gets up there and she's like, you know, I used to be a bus driver. She's a former city councilwoman. I was a bus driver. I probably spent that much, you know, $5,000 just out of my own pocket helping kids over the years. Gavin Hawthorne.
I'm all for this DUO program, and I hear your concerns. However, I feel like we can find a way to support the $5,000, the $1,000 to each five schools.
Yeah, for the schools that are in the city limits in Milton. So kind of in the end, I think Marilyn Farrow recognized that somehow she'd got herself on the wrong side of this issue. I don't think she really changed her mind, though, but she did say,
I'm going to vote yes, but that's to move it forward only. Okay.
Just to move it forward. I'm still going to probably vote no later.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
Well, maybe not yet. But one can be aspirational. 7:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure, and the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey, so grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
ECUA's free recycling coach app is here. Discover which materials are recyclable, receive automatic reminders on waste collections, schedules, and holiday updates, and use the report a problem feature to schedule a special pickup or report a missed pickup. What's more, there's educational information on a wide variety of recycling topics and resources. Download the Recycling Coach app today with the App Store or Play Store. Also accessible from the ECUA website. That's ecua.fl.gov.
Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. After Tucker Carlson's firing, The Eric Bolling Show went up over 200% in the ratings. Tonight, watch Newsmax's powerful lineup of Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and Chris Plant. At 8 p.m. Eastern, Eric Bolling reveals the big fight between DeSantis and Trump. Newsmax is now America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Start watching anytime. Make the switch today to Newsmax.
Fans on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's up-and-coming blues and soul singer Jordan Chase. Jordan was featured on The Voice and American Idol. He's currently working on his first album with a Grammy Award-winning team from Nashville. See Jordan Chase at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
I don't know where to go.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah.
He won't need it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey!
Pop rocks, you say? I don't think that's true. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. 88 today. Okay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Talks on raising the debt ceiling scheduled to resume today at the White House. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says President Biden has agreed to sit down with him one-on-one. Two more Republicans expected to throw their names into the 2024 presidential race this week. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott expected to make an official announcement today.
Oh, I thought he already did over the weekend.
Well, apparently he's supposed to speak at Charleston Southern University.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm sure word gets out every time one of these announcements.
Oh, okay, he filed for president ahead of his official announcement.
And, yeah.
Okay, so there's the wedding, and then there's the engagement, and then there's the pre-engagement, there's a promise ring, and then there's the private discussion you had before you had the promise ring.
And now he's sending out his wish list
for gifts.
There's
the ring shopping. Yeah, right, and then there's the registry. Okay, yep, all right, I got you. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Also, Governor Ron DeSantis expected to make a bid official as early as Wednesday this week. And there's growing worries, Andrew, about a doctor shortage as burnout is forcing a lot of physicians to leave the profession.
Whether it be, you know, insurance regulations, you know, not having enough nursing, medical assistance, there have been a whole bunch of issues.
That's Dr. Blada Zamora, and she says in the end, patients suffer when doctors are burned out. There's a recent survey by a health journal company, Elsevier, and they're predicting up to 75% of healthcare workers could be leaving the profession within the next few years.
Ah, it's fine. The robot to deliver babies. It's going to be fine. No problem.
That's right. Powered by AI.
This is not a new problem.
Push,
but this is
push, beady, beady, beady.
I don't know why Tweaky.
She
is
said
the,
robot.
Yeah, I know. I like it though. <That's> great. Eating lead, sucker. Was it the Mel Blanc? Right? Doesn't didn't he do the voice for that?
I have no idea. I didn't know who Twinkie was till you and Reese yelled at me that day.
Okay, so this goes back a long time. Like when Spencer was born. Okay, and he's 19. Just give me a second. Anyway, you know, when he was born, we had the best OB. This is back in St. Louis. Dr. Moynihan was like, she was just fantastic. Like, she was the best. She was like an old school OBGYN, you know, and she knew everything and, you know, whatever. And she delivered him. And I remember her telling us in our, like, you know, ongoing consultations, whatever, she's like, yeah, I'm retiring. Like, why? She's like, can't afford the malpractice. Doubled in a year. Madison County, Illinois, is one of the worst, like, litigator counties in the country. And her malpractice insurance was going to go up 100% in 1 year. And she's never had a problem. Like, she's never done anything wrong. She's a fantastic doctor. And so it's, you know, ruining. And we actually asked her, we said, well, what if you stayed and you didn't have medical malpractice insurance and, like, we could still come to you, though, right, for our next kid? She's like, no, I can't do it. I'm like, ugh. Because I... That's sure. where I'm at. Like, I would take the risk on her because I know she's great.
Of
you know
course,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's just kind of industry-wide. You have all these problems, and now with COVID, and now
too
with
bad they
other...
don't have, like, the general where you could buy malpractice insurance for, like, one day.
Just a la carte for that one event. Yeah, right.
Yeah, man.
But that's just, you know, all of these things. We take this stuff all for granted, like this complicated system of, you know, needs and rewards and incentives and desires and beliefs in the profession, and all of that produces things like, you know, hospitals. And doctors and syringes and nurses and, you know, clean linens and just in all the stuff that you do. All of a sudden COVID comes in and seems to break everything. And we wonder, well, you know, I mean, thank God I still have food, you know. 756 Candy's got traffic for you.
We're not showing a lot on the roads right now. There's one accident. This is Olive and Carl Dean Street. Somebody actually just called this in. It's a vehicle crash with a roadblock. Again, that's Olive and Carl Dean, which is just near Lawton Street, of course, and just on the other side of Davis, maybe a few blocks up. So caution there. I am showing a roadblock. I'm not sure which direction, but certainly if you know, if you have a traffic tip, by all means, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yep. 757 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? This is just kind of a follow-up to a story that David had mentioned on Friday. Remember we joked around about the dancers at the L.A. dive bar that had organized the exotic dancers, you know, the kind that wear less and less clothing as the event goes on.
Mm-hmm. They look like erotic hitchhikers, but they work on a stage.
That's right. You know what I'm saying. So I was just kind of reading up a little bit on this, and the Star Garden Topless Dive Bar is actually the name of the place.
Oh.
And they are, in fact, the only now unionized strippers in the nation. There had been another, I guess, at San Francisco's Lusty Lady. Great names. Had organized the Exotic Dancers Union back in the 90s. That strip club shuttered in 2013. I don't think you can say the one led to the other 20 years later. They got certified as the only one. They're part of a larger union, the Actors Equity, more than 50,000 entertainment industry nationwide. But kind of it was interesting to me to read some of the, like, why. You know, the why. And we know that in this industry, there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on, okay? This is, you know, I mean, there's a reason that traffickers put,
right.
You know, okay, so, I mean, I'm not saying that every strip club is, you know, doing horrible things, but it's saying industry-wide, you know, generally, you know, this is not necessarily the healthiest environment for folks, aside from whatever moral concerns you might have about the endeavor. I mean, aside from that, you know what I mean? One of the problems is that they couldn't go to the security when there was a problem that they felt unsafe. They'd kind of have to go through management who would decide whether they had a reason to ask security for help. The customers were staying in the bar after closing, so they'd see the strippers in their regular attire and then sometimes follow them out to their cars. People were being filmed up on stage. Another dancer was fired for intervening when she noticed a customer doing bad stuff. So, like, this is a bad relationship all around. And now they've gotten unionized. And I will say this, what I often say is, you know, there are times when unions make sense, when the conditions are bad. And so probably in this case, I'd probably support them.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade.